Spirit life is the conversation we continue with. You may have your seat. The place of prayer is not a place of convenience. Okay, somebody give her the other microphone. She wants this one so much. It is not only the place of convenience that makes us to get in that space and pray. We don't do it because we just want to pray. It is part of what we survive on. It is what must enter into our system and begin to literally sustain us in every place of existence. Now, do you know why the Holy Spirit said that may you enter in the freelance atmosphere and transact? He begin to weigh up himself in the space of every man. That the extent you have known me, if I allow you to flow without direction, can you still locate the frequency and align to it? So the freelance, whenever God gives you opportunity to flow the way you want, you must be very careful, because that's how men miss it. If he says, have a spontaneous flow, it is not a guarantee that you only think about your own things. It means that he has placed trust on you, that you need to identify that frequency and enter into it. Of which normally so many of us, we miss it. Because you think that, oh, God has allowed me now to pray for mouthing. Oh! So you had opened that angle, that you may be tested. That's how the Lord begins to test man. He begins to push you in a corridor where you think that you have your free will to do your own things. Then that becomes your own trap. So he begins to fix you in that space. Well, now what you begin to utter by your mouth and your attitude in that place begin to send volumes of communication. And those communication are sometimes what stands in to judge your own transaction. So you may wonder, why are my prayers not being answered? But because of the utterances you created. And the attitude thereof has now begun to judge you. So the answer was guaranteed by your own creation, by your own utterances. But now it has been limited. In other words, your place of prayer has now been voided. There's nothing that exists because there's nothing that was labored on. So your labor was for no use or for no reason. So a man can pray for 1 hour, but everything I've done, that transaction cannot stand in the weight of Jehovah to be confirmed that it can get their own answers. That's why sometimes you just enter in a spontaneous flow. You're walking on the road, then the Holy Ghost summons you in the place of prayer. You must understand the frequency. You're doing nothing. You're just sitting in the house, doing your own things. Then all of a sudden a wind comes and the energy to pray is given. Oh. You must understand the frequency. You're just doing your own things. You're just doing your own things. You're just somewhere while you're traveling. Oh, then the call to pray comes. You must understand the frequency. So that's how some of us will miss it. I pray that none of us have missed it for the last, how many days we have been praying? 20 what? So when the 20 what? 23 in that day. So for the past 22 days, I pray none of us has missed it. These classes. So I pray none of us has missed it. Because how we think we can pray. Okay, yeah. You see, even the direction he gave about the financial liberty, it becomes a trap. Because, and I've said it before when I was starting, that some of you may, the Lord wants to pray about money. There's something beyond money. There's a spirit that summons all these things. So he's now calling you to make a prayer to align into that spirit. When that spirit is sustained within you, then your hand cannot fail to progress in whatever thing your hand is doing. It's a spirit that begins to pull things to us. It's like a magnet that begins to draw things to your side. So go give me money. But say, oh, he's not praying, he's not asking you to pray for money. It is something so deep. You see, can give my card, he said to give you 50 shillings. He said, at least he has answered your prayer. But what will that 50 shillings help you with in the long run? Can decide to give you 1 million. What will it help you with in the long run? Some of you think that this is a big money until you cut it. You realize, you see, that's not really a big money. That's why even the ones who are millionaires still want to get more millions. Because until you get there, you are no longer satisfied. You feel like you are being tricked. Some of you the little hundreds you have. To some people, it's a prayer point. To you, you feel like you're being drained. You need more hundreds. So you must work. You must do all your things to get more money coming. You're in your thousands. You have to sustain it. But somebody is feeling like, oh, if God can just give me 2,000, I will have seen heaven. For you, 2,000 is not an issue. 50,000 is not an issue. 200,000, oh, you feel like you're being drained. So he's not calling you to pray for money. He's calling you to pray for something big. You must create something that stands as an emblem that begins to draw spirits that must begin to work for you. Okay. So be careful when the Lord gives you opportunity to make a spontaneous flow in prayer. Be very careful, because that's how men miss it. You just let me pray the way I want. Oh, they're just now calling the name of your grandfather, the name of your crush, the name of your know your what. He didn't say you go that direction. He said spontaneous, which means that a wise man will understand how to capture that frequency and enter into it. It is how you align to the frequency that a man can be sustained in prayer. A prayer a man does outside the frequency of Jehovah is so hard to be sustained. So you can make the prayer for 30 seconds or 30 minutes. When that 30 minutes is done, you feel that the energy is gone. Because you're just doing it out of your own valuation, not from Jehovah's sight. So a man is always sustained in the place of prayer as long as that man can locate the frequency in the place of prayer. Not just because you want to pray. He said, pray always. Otherwise, pray without ceasing. Make it a lifestyle. It means that there's an expectation in the spirit that a man must always be in the frequency of God. That prayer can be sustained. That prayer of men are prayer of spirits. And that's why when you are in the frequency of God, to the deeper extent, the Holy Ghost will always give you the enablement to sustain yourself in it. Jesus comes and says, couldn't you watch with me even for 1 hour? The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Now you see, you have to catch that frequency, and it's always tagged in the space of the spirit, not the flesh. So next time you're summoned the place of prayer, be very wise. Don't just come because you are coming. Because ignorance can still be found in the place of prayer. And I said last time that prayer does not equate knowledge. Rather, prayer is not a substitution of knowledge. You can be prayerful but are still ignorant of the things of God. So prayer does not substitute knowledge. So you also need that knowledge to effectively transact in the place of prayer. is a spirit-based knowledge. You see, the knowledge of man can tell you, you need to sustain 3 hours before you can look powerful. But the knowledge of the spirit will not speak to you about 3 hours. It will speak to you about the lifestyle of it. Sustaining the lifestyle, not sustaining the time. It's a place of consistency that begin to build a man into the place of lifestyle. That consistency all of a sudden turns into a lifestyle. So just like that, you enter the place of prayer as a lifestyle. It's part of your diet because you had a consistency. Some of you are here, you can't do 1 hour continuous. So the only thing you can do is 10 minutes. Now in that 10 minutes, can you maintain that 10 minutes same time every day? It is how you maintain it that consistency is built and a lifestyle is formed out of the consistency. So you must learn how to move with God. It doesn't flow with people in the place of prayer by time because you're checking on time. You are doing dance, check on time. You know, the same God can live in prayer. You can pray for 3 days without waking up. without becoming sober. You're busy. Oh, you're just in prayer. And the same God can take you for 5 minutes. Oh, you need to see the records of those revivals that have taken place before. Like the Azusa Street revival, those ones, that men just came and just caught up in the glory of God. And for days, men dwelled along the streets crying for Jesus. So the streets became an altar for God. It became a holy ground all of a sudden. Because some men labored in consistency and they created an atmosphere. For any man shall enter that atmosphere, in the cloud of that atmosphere, shall be carried by the strength of the cloud. So a man is sustained there without needing food, without wanting to do the worship. So they're just there, pushing to him. It's a realm you enter that even the flesh has no ability, has no strength to bargain for its own things. That the flesh cannot begin to bargain that I need to go to the toilet. He has no time. Something has come and has suppressed the flesh. It's a realm you enter, right? That the flesh has no desire for food, has no desire for water. You are lost into it. Until you come back, then you realize that you are very hungry. You need food. Until you come back, you realize, oh, I'm very, I need to sleep. How can men be caught up and sustain that kind of prolonged moment with Jehovah? A man cutting that frequency. You must cut the frequency. Don't just come say, I want to pray. Oh, tonight I want to do 4 hours. And so, there are days I've prayed from 12 midnight till morning. My wife be in the bedroom sleeping, I'll be busy. She'll wake up, go to the ocean, she'll find me. I'm still there praying. Oh, those days. So some of you, when she has prayed like this, we have sacrificed before. We know the extent we have gone in a place of prayer. So just say, oh, can you pray? Can you pray? Then you're like, oh. You think, oh. Those are the days that morning will just come. And then when people are waking up is when you are going to sleep. The whole night, you are tiring. Not by the flesh, but the spirit. Because this flesh cannot sustain you from 12 midnight till morning. It cannot. They are just busy in tongues, prayers, tongues. And I was praying, oh God, remember so and so. Oh, remember so and so. You see, that at least can push time for you. This one, I was so much immersed in the spirit. The first thing I opened my eyes, my wife was going to the washroom, so I had to open myself. But I checked the time, it was around 3. So I had to, I went back, continued praying. The next time, I was realizing it was around 6. I said, oh, I even have to beg Jesus, allow me to go and sleep. This is too much now. Even that sleep, I had to do 1 hour, wake up again, enter meditation. There was no time to rest. Some of you are just doing convenience, prayer for convenience. Because you don't know where some men come from. Some men are cooked in the wilderness. When they come out in public, you think that you can just do the same way they're doing. When it comes to spiritual things, don't copy anyone. You can imitate man in the flesh, but not in the spirit. Every man, the spirit must find their own allocation. That is the direction that every man is allocated for, in the place of the spirit. So just to say, okay, I've come. Because imitation of the spirit is so dangerous. You can imitate what kills you. You can imitate what was a poison unto your own spirit. So it's only unto every man that you begin to understand what is the line of your own frequency with God. The measure on that line. There are days we could come to church for a Friday prayer night. We could just pray the whole night. In this church. No, I'm not talking about another church. I'm talking about this one. Everybody could do one hour. Until morning. No sharing of what? Prayer. No direction. In the everybody is just flowing. Someone does 1 hour, the hour comes 1 hour. We had to start from 10 till morning. The first break we are having was 4 a.m. Were you there? Were you? No, you were there. My wife was there. I prayed till the point in the morning. She was like, "You have to kill us with the prayer." You see, our own round was coming around 1 a.m. for her to lead prayer. She was to lead around 1 a.m. But she was already exhausted. She asked me, "Are you sure we shall sustain this day until morning?" I told her, "Yes, the grace sufficient." And the way she was done, the moment she took the microphone, she was boiling on the microphone. So you ask yourself, was it the same person who was tired? And everybody was praying. Not the prayer one that people are sleeping. You see, the one that you can lie on the ground and you think that you're in dimension. Whom you have said, let me rest my peace. So we think that you are very far. That's what I'm saying. I don't like people who pray when they are. So if you pray like that, I will just come close to you. I will just put my ears. I also have to do that with Megan. I will come next to her. Listen. That thing, people can tell you we are busy praying, but they are lost. They say, I had a tiresome week. Let me rest a bit. And they say, in Jesus' name, amen. They are not made back. You may think that they are still in dimension. Come with the sleep. Passed by. They did hear the alarm. Those are the days. So if you see, the ministry is built so much on prayer. There were foundational programs of prayer that men tarried in. The whole night. No tea, no water, no nothing. People are just there. It's like we are in a fasting. And we are praying the whole night. They're going to come for prayer night. They will not come. But they're going to come for our worship night. The church will be full. Because at least they're coming to enjoy themselves, right? To dance, to show off how they are dressing well. To show how they are beautiful, their voice are beautiful. They call men for prayer. Then that's now we begin to draw the line. We say, Pastor, we love Jesus, but we shall pray in the house. You know, God can listen for us also. Years ago, one man told me, "You see, Apostle, I will be doing the spirit. I don't need your spirit in that church. We have the Holy Ghost. If you cannot come by flesh and your spirit and your soul, don't come. This thing that I see, I'm in the spirit. I can't make it, but see, I'm in the spirit. I'm with you people in the spirit. No, we don't. Every spirit apart from the Holy Ghost that we shall see, that we shall bind it." So I told that guy, "No, we don't need your spirit there. We have the Holy Ghost. If you cannot come by flesh and blood, don't come. Because if I see your spirit there, we will bind you. You are a demon, we shall bind you." This thing, that's how people escape invitations and escape responsibility. That's, I cannot make it. But I say, I'm with you people in the spirit. We don't need spirits. Some of you, people, we need things that need money. And I tell us, I'll be doing the spirit. No, we need cash. We don't need your spirit, because the one we have is the Holy Ghost. Plus our own spirit. We are enough. I know some of you have become, you are culprits of that thing. I'm within the spirit, brother. Grace is sufficient. No, we don't need spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. So of what help is your spirit in that meeting? You get that? You see, God came for a full man. That is spirit, soul, and body. Which means that if you remain only as a spirit, you see, you have no need for our gospel. We were not sent to preach to spirit of men. We were sent to preach to men full of flesh and blood, plus the spirit inside. So we teach you that your spirit may catch our teaching and you may be transformed. Are you people concentrating this side? You get that? So how well have you mastered that frequency, the spirit? You go to the place of studying the word, but it's in the place of the word. You're being led to open something, but it's, oh. Which I'm still within the structure of spirit life, but today I'm talking about life in the spirit. So don't lose me. Okay. So how structured are you? Because life in the spirit is no joke. Some of you may be messed up in that place. Bishop, anything you get to do by ignorance is likely to become a contamination to your own spirit. I said there are times that those who love to consult witches, wizards, and all these things, what don't know that as you consult them, you become part of them. Because you see, what you must understand that you have entered into their own frequency. Okay, do you know you have your own frequency that the Holy Ghost powers you to create? So the Holy Ghost powers to create your own frequency, in that you can begin to pray even in the house, and you have a few people in the house. Then as you pray, the rest of the people begin to find the energy also to pray. The hunger to pray also is given unto them. Yet they were not in the mood of prayer. But the moment you began to pray, they also caught up into it. Because they entered into your own frequency to sustain them. There are those who are weak in the things, in the transactions of the spirit, that until they enter the frequency of others, they cannot be sustained. So they enter the frequency of others as an enablement until they know the Holy Ghost and form their own frequency. So it's like you are basically in the bosom of somebody else. That somebody else gives the shade to survive for that duration until you form your own. Because not every man can start to form their own. I've told you that those frequencies must be created by consistency. So there are those who have not yet built consistency. That means that there's no frequency for them, right? So you can be in a place, and because you have your own frequency of operation, and the moment you begin to tap into it, the atmosphere opens up for you. Because the Holy Ghost has given the power and the enablement to do so. Somebody else may not have the ability, but because you're in that place, by association, they are also inclined into it. So the fact that they can be able to tarry that place, but within the parameters of your own frequency, that they can lay bare of that conversation. As long as they leave it, they begin to miss the whole thing. So the parameters of the whole frequency, a man enters and begins to fashion in it. It means that the conditions in which you are fashioning in begin to dictate how that man push into. That's why if a man sustains themselves so much in your own frequency, you get to see that man begin to pray like you. That man begin to pray like you. Oh, you begin to hear some sense. There's some kind of tongues that begin to flow. Okay, can it be a sin that a man is praying like so and so? Some people don't copy, it just flows. There are those who copy, they have to copy your dance so they can flow into it. There are those who don't copy.
They begin to pray
and say, oh, you can relate that term with somebody else, because not by the same utterances, but by the same tonal variation, you can locate it. Not because there's already a distinguishing factor that this is somebody that I know, but because there's a spirit acknowledgement. So unless you're the spirit, you cannot acknowledge. But how this one is flowing in prayer is like so and so. Because they have been found to be tapped in the frequency of that person. You love to worship so much and you have formed a frequency. So how you sustain yourself the place of worship? To some people, the only way they do it, they have to chant to power their own frequency. Somebody else comes in that atmosphere. So you're in a place, then something just started up in your spirit, and you began to hum in the spirit, or to just began to sing some song in the spirit. Then the more you do it, even the people around you begin also to flow in the same. They begin to flow in the, because now they've been caught. Have you been in a place that you begin to do something, then the rest also begin to do it? You begin to sing, even the person begin to sing. They feel power in that song. Yeah, that song, they have it even in their phones, but they never felt the power of it. And then you begin to sing it. They begin to feel the difference in the whole structure of that song. They have been having it. They have been singing it carelessly. Then the day you are there with them, yes, I see. They all of a sudden something was built up. They also entered it. They began to enter. So it began to flow. Because the frequency has been created. So they can enter it and harvest themselves into it. That frequency is so important for every Christian. It is how you build it, and I've said you build it by consistency. And I've told you, other than the frequency, that frequency is part of what I call the lifestyle you are doing. Is the energy, the backbone to sustain that lifestyle. It is by that frequency. That every life is sustained by a frequency. It's a culture that's been formed. So you are consistent, a frequency is created, then a lifestyle of a sudden comes up. So because you're consistent in the place of prayer, a frequency of prayer has been formed. So the love that comes forth is in prayer always. You love to do word by listening, by reading. By consistency, something's formed. You cannot stop doing this word. You have to always read it, enter the scriptures, listen to teachings. You cannot stop it. And it's not because of hyping. No, you cannot stop it. And I'm telling before the Lord, if you build the right atmosphere, the right frequency, you come to understand that there are people who will be ministering that your ears cannot be itching for them. Because even what you create begin to determine what feeds into you. So itching ears is part of the acceptance that has come. If your ears are itching for something that is not building you, you have to be very careful and ask yourself questions. So the more you establish yourself in a particular way, it begins to form even how itchy your ears can be. So you are just somewhere, just sitting somewhere. Then all of a sudden someone begin to minister. The what? I said, which is this? Because you are not catching it. You feel like, okay, this is wrong. Now, and there are people who are there who are shouting, yes, amen. But for you are lost. Because your ears are not itching for what is being taught. Until one man, and that can be a guest minister, apparently. Then one guy just come, want to take offering. And that offering guy begin to speak of some things. They begin to feel like, I'm being blessed by this guy. You feel like this guy is taking you somewhere than the one who did the word. Because your ears has been designed to itch for something else. I forget now. Because some of you are so careless with how you live your life in the spirit. So I've been building up on spirit life, but I'm focusing now on the life in the spirit. Some of you are so careless with it. How can a man enter in the council of prophets and begin to prophesy? Based on the frequency that was created by the prophets, of the prophets, that man can also enter and align and begin to prophesy. Or you think it was because of some magic. Look what happened to Saul. This guy enters the company of prophets, and the Bible says what? And he also prophesied. Was it by magic? Was it by laying of hands? No. Nobody laid hands on him. He just entered and began to prophesy. Now it was in the company of prophets. It was the frequency that was formed in that council. Now when this man entered, he found himself also enabled to prophesy. Yet he was not a prophet. He was neither close to the prophetic. Because the day he tried to do priestly duties, that day he lost kingship. Because sometimes you can prophesy and you can do something in the council of people, and then you think that you can do it, you can sustain yourself. Saul did it. And then years later, he tried to replicate what he did. He said, oh, but I prophesied that day when I was looking for the donkeys. So I can prophesy even now. I can stand as a priest and do the duties of the priest upon the altars. He didn't have to wait for the prophet. That day he lost kingship. It was taken out of him. So he remained a king by flesh. In the spirit, the unction was taken, just withdrawn from him and given to another. Yet the one who was also given the unction, in the flesh, he was not looking like it. But in the spirit, he was the king, the anointed and the appointed king. Because they were not elected. It was the kingship was being appointed by God in those days. Nobody was elected. There was no campaign unless you try to forge your way into it. Like those are the media guys, the sons of David who tried to change the kingship of Israel. So you see, unless you try that means, but of which even if you try that means, you can't survive. Once you disobey God in those days, you have signed your death certificate. So he thought he could do priestly duty, so kingship was taken away. It was the frequency. The Bible says the moment he left the company of prophets, he was unable to prophesy. Then you think that, see, oh, because of all. See, you can be in the company of them that can perform healing by prayer or by laying of hands. Effortlessly, healing can be flowing. Then you are also flowing in the same atmosphere. Then you leave that place and you think I'll do it by your own. You're in a place whereby the teaching is too much like this church. That you can stand and feel like you're flowing in teaching. You can teach even yourself. You can teach people. Then the day now you disconnect from the system and you think that you're still a teacher, you lost it. I know several. Some of them, people love to listen to them. As long as they were still under the umbrella of the great teacher, they were still surviving. The day they rebelled and formed their own camp, and they thought they can still minister in teaching the way they used to do, that thing was taken out. So they just ministering in Ichabod. The cupboard was gone. The son that ministers in every man. So you become a vagabond teacher. Because the one that was original was sustaining you. You have left the frequency. You are still to connect, sustain your own system. But you left prematurely because some people hyped you that, oh, you can also do it. Begin your own ministry. Then you left. That day you left, that thing crashed also. You separated from the system. You are yet to build your own. So what remains, because now they have a name, so what remains that they have just to say anything, just sustain relevance. And it's so dangerous to always cry to sustain relevance. Because the cry to sustain relevance can make you to do what is not within the will of God. And that's how many people miss it. So how to get that frequency? Now it flows because the life in the spirit, not only in the things of God, but anything in the spirit, including darkness. that there are people that have fortified themselves in a way that they have created frequency of darkness. You enter that frequency, you feel like you're also part of it. One has created a system of witch, of wizardry. They're the masters in witchcraft. And because they have laid bare that frequency, you enter that atmosphere, you feel like you're also a witch. One hatred comes, and you feel like you need to enter more darkness than before. Then the moment you separate from that person, you realize, okay, your mind's come back. And just say, oh, I'm so sorry. What I said, I didn't mean it. It was the influence of what you entered in. Now, you see that thing you people call atmosphere? These are the part of the maneuver that happens. It is part of the smoke that comes out of the frequency that begins to influence mind. So say, okay, I'm in a certain atmosphere. It is part of the result that begins to emanate out of frequency. That these men are brought to the order of that creation. So if a man is in the castle of witches, that man becomes also a witch. You get that? That's why you have to be very careful, because the frequency you engage in or you associate with has the ability also to define you. So most are defiled. There are good people, but they are defiled the day they are associated. You get that? You're a minister, then you are called to minister somewhere. And because you're hungry to minister and step every place, you went to minister in a place. The day you step on that altar, a new associated. Even what you carried was defiled. Do you know why I stopped going to most of these invitations? If you invite me, I have to be so sure within my spirit that there is a witness that where I'm being invited to, the Lord is truly there. That if I flow in the way Jesus wants me to flow, there'll be no offense in it. Sometimes I just reject this invitation, because I know if I go to that place, I will that friendship will end. So I'd rather not come. So if I come to a place, I know I'm coming to flow with him, because that influence happens. I've seen people stepping on altars. Then the moment they step on altar, even the message they had disappeared. The congregation itself begin to make them lose their own way. They'll speak of a word and say, Jesus is here. Then the whole crowd shout, that man has lost. What will follow is that he has to make sure he continues to speak what will hype these people. Because he has noticed that what this thing is to sustain them. So they are there. They just say, that Jesus is here. Everybody shout. They begin to see the glory is here. So the congregation itself begin to make that man lose their own stability in the place of ministration. That is the context on how association can begin to kill words of God within a man. Okay, can we do Leviticus 19 quickly? 19. I was almost 10:31. 19:31. I know you are there. This man, you are here. Karibu sana. Uko ni home. Okay, are you there? Okay. Now you've got to do 19:31. Mavinya, what are you struggling to open? And this is in the screen. Okay, if you think that you're still at the dew, no, you are not there. The dew we did in the morning, right? It was nice. You people, you felt something. Eh? Now, did you enjoy it? Did you grow? You know, my wife was calling me to go and pick them up, but I was so deeply lost into it. I told her, don't worry, just blame the Holy Ghost. The other thing was very sweet. It was very sweet. No, literally, the dew is always sweet, right? You see, there are things we cannot teach here. We can teach them at the dew. Scripture, page by page. Okay. Now, even this one we are speaking, we are teaching the scriptures still. But the other one is a bit intensive. Senior? Yes, it's a bit intensive. Okay, before you came, do you know they gave revelations? Okay. I said next Sunday, don't come late. you are escaping so many routines. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards. They say what? To be defined. Now, God is communicating to the Israelites through Moses. And he's saying that now this is part. Now, the communication has been going on all this time. Now, this part of it. And say what? Regard not them that have what? So it means that there are men that have familiar spirits. Not that them that the familiar. No, they have familiar spirits. Then he says what? Neither seek after what? Wizards to be defied by them. I am the Lord, your God. Now you see, there's a caution coming, and that caution is for them that love to associate carelessly. Now, this whole scripture is about association. It says that regard them not. It means that familiar spirit, any man that has a familiar spirit and you enter into association by the frequency of that familiarity in the spirit, you can also be inclined into it. So, have you not seen people who just do things by familiar spirit? Okay, now do you know how dangerous that thing is? That's basically you are copying, you're taking another form that is not the original. Okay. Look at what happened to the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts of Apostles. These men, they came also to cast out a devil, the same way Paul was doing, in the name of Jesus. Oh, one of the greatest names that exists in heaven and on earth. But that day, the name just became powerless. Because they had no understanding first of that name. And I've said it before that the name Jesus can only work for you when you have the understanding of it. So you can call Jesus, but nothing can happen. But one can call Jesus and things begin to open up. Is the understanding that you build in that context. They can talk about that thing in the morning. Is that understanding. You have to build it. So these people, they came because they saw Paul doing this thing. And they said, oh, Paul is making this thing look easy. We can also do the same thing. So they had to come and function in that familiarity. And because this was, they had their own familiar speech that was a cousin to the demon they wanted to cast out. So this demon look at their own cousin and say, yeah, home. You want? That demon was already. I said, you are the one who wants. You want to cast us out. You know, you we know you. You are of darkness. By the place of authority, we know Paul at least. Jesus, him, we know him. So who are you in the place of authority? He will speak about the place of relativity. He will speak of power. Oh, okay. Jesus. Well, I sort of begin to move things and begin to showcase the strength of God in all places. But it's authority that begins to bring on a man to rule. So you can be powerful, but you have no authority. Do you know what can make Ruto to still survive? Even if you hate him or love him, is authority. He has all the power, but even to some extent, his powers are limited. He has the power to order the police and the army to shoot any man, but he cannot try, because if he try that, the nation will spoil, will break. The nation will not have a nation. So even his power is controlled, as a control in a document called the Constitution. So he cannot proceed beyond it, but he has the power. But see, you have something on top of that power that makes you not being able to declare yourself president as long as he's sitting on that seat. And that's authority. It is now what you need to rule. Some of you can pray for power. But see, Jesus. Okay. Do you know power is not something you do as a prayer point? Okay. The more you practice power, is the more you become powerful. Because this don't come by impartation. Power is what you receive the day the Holy Ghost came. You saw what is in the book of Acts, that and you shall what? Receive power, after which. Now that conversation was not for Jesus, was for you. But you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you, and you shall be. You see, It was on you, not Jesus. Oh. And you shall receive power. And now you know the instance in which the Holy Ghost comes in a man is the time they receive Jesus, right? At the point of your salvation, that moment, the Holy Ghost comes. Boom. It is the God that dwells in you. You did receive Jesus, then there was a vacuum left for some days for God to see if you have fully accepted. No. If you accept Jesus today, the Holy Ghost cometh. And that says what? And you shall receive. Oh, and you see, again the Bible said that now, this same Spirit of truth shall not come and go, but shall stay with you. Again the Bible goes and speaks and says what? That it shall be with you, and what? In you. These are two different variations. So you see, that power is not something you say that, God give me power. It means that there's a foolishness has been dictated in the place of prayer. It may look like a weapon prayer, like a very strong prayer, but it's a strangeness of it in the spirit. It means that the one making prayer has not yet had the knowledge of what they received. The fact that the Holy Ghost sometimes silent in us does not mean that we are powerless. I know we confuse that one. That the silence of the Holy Ghost means powerlessness. No. The fact that the Holy Ghost is silent does not mean that you are powerless. Right? It only needs activation. So, instead of pray God give you power, you need to pray God help me to function in this power. Because power corrupts. Do you know that? That's why God is not banking so much on making you think that you need to only labor for power. Because that power is conditioned. When it shall come upon you, you shall receive it. It's conditioned. Which means that the one that gives power has the ability to help you know how to move in that power. It's the Holy Ghost that helps a man to flow in that power without corrupting them, because power corrupts. That's why you have people who seek for power in the church, and then after 1 year or 2 years, they are corrupted in the same power they sort of. So now you see, instead of praying for that power, begin to function in it. Because the consistency in functioning in power is what makes become more powerful. Now, do you know there are people who are powerful, but they are not presidents in this nation? There are people, if you hear your name, their name, you can run. But they are not presidents in this nation. What's the difference between those people and the president? It's the authority that they have. That they can have authority over their own houses. But the camp, the nation is one man. They can be powerful in the nation, that any man hears that they run away. They are so scared. Because of power. So power, the ability to corrupt. It is part of the potency built within power that it can brood evil or brood goodness. So those of you who desire power, this thing is there. But it's only just using it. Now you think that they was confused the day he said, and you shall cast out devils. You shall raise the dead, heal the sick, all these things. You think that he was confused? He was not. He knew that what is in you is enough to do all the biddings. But because you are too ignorant to understand these things, you can't say, okay, you want to. He said, you are cast out devils. So what do? They call you to come and deliver somebody from demon. They'll tell them, give me 3 days. I'm going to meet the Lord. I'm going to get some money. I'm going to charge. When I come, that demon will run. Now, you think it's a story. There are people who fast before they go and deliver demons. And then there are people that don't speak. That their appearance, the demon departs. Now you saw what happened to Jesus, that legion guy. The demon identified Jesus even before he spoke a word. Before he could say, you need to get out of that person. Even before he casted out that devil, the devil was willingly ready to move. I said, oh, do not destroy us before our time. But however, you need to allow us. You see that flock? If you can enter there, we are good. You see, I didn't want to divert to the place of power. But if I'm telling you, there's a prayer I've ever made in my life. God, give me power. I've not. I stand by the revelation of the scriptures. It is the ginosko of the word, the revelation knowledge that will have to power us the place of becoming. He says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9 all the way to 12 that no ear has seen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither the heart of man comprehended what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. And he goes ahead and says, for what that the spirit of man knows. Go, keep on. The other one. What knows the things of man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him, even so, for the things of God knows no man but the spirit of man. Keep on moving. Look at this, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of. Listen, not by God, say, of God. These things have been given freely of him. And the only way to tap into it, we go back to verse 10 and 11. Look at that. Give us 10. Quickly, say what? But God has revealed them to us by his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Then verse 11 says what? Look at that. That what no man knows the things of man, said the spirit of man, who is in him. Even so the things of God, not so man, but the spirit of God. So these things exclusively depend on the spirit. That we might know that things are freely given to us of God, but by his spirit are these things made known unto us. Are you getting that? If you receive the Holy Ghost, it will have to help you to function in what is freely given. That power was freely given unto you, not because you prayed and fasted. So you can only pray and fast to be activated into it, but not that you pray and fast for power. If you don't pray and fast for power, please just pray for the nation. We have so many problems in this nation. Just pray for this nation. You get that? So now you get that. So then, okay. I don't need to teach more about this power thing. It's not my conversation today. But do you know, it is a dunamis that leads a man to the place of exhaustion. Those are two patterned extremes of power. Dunamis comes in the book of Acts chapter 1. And you shall receive power. That power is dunamis in Greek, right? That comes by the virtue of a man receiving Jesus. Then now there's exousia, the working of that power. You must now enter the laboring to bring activation. It is the function of that. The function of it is now what we now call the exousia. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So the frequency of it is very important. Now, that familiar, the familiar spirits begin to pull a man within the corridors of their own formation. So what was formed by that spirit, and you have entered that domain by association, you now are also guided within the statutes of that spirit. So all this to you becomes familiar. Even prayer. Now, do you know what he begins to do? Is that not that you shall see a familiar spirit. It means that there is an influence of which begins to cause a familiarity around you by a spirit. So you shall do things by a familiar spirit, not by revelation. It begins to bring blindness. It's a veil that comes unto a man. That how you did it last month, you think you can still do it the same way. Yet the Lord wants to do it in a different way. Last month you laid your hands upon a man, the man was healed. This time round, Jehovah said, just make a pronouncement, and the sickness will depart. But because you had the familiarity of last time, you lay hands and nothing happens. So you remain with the egg on your face because you didn't follow the instructions of God. People can still be familiar in the things of God. The last time I prayed at 12 midnight, I met God. So I want to sustain this one. You see, the way I met. Then you try again to sustain the 12. Now, that time you don't feel again the move of God. He's trying to say, you see, leave 12, enter 3. You will find me there. But because you have become so familiar with the whole situation, you become familiar with prayer, familiar with the word, familiar with everything. That's why every man of God to you is fake. Every praise and worship, a guy who can sing here or play keyboard is a what? Is an immoral person. At least I know. We still have remnants among the worshippers. We still have remnants among the instrumentalists. Not everybody is a fornicator. Not everybody is hungry for money. we still have remnants. But because of familiarity, we treat everybody in an umbrella conversation. All churches are fake. We treat it like that. At least not every church is fake. At least before the Lord, there are remnants. What can be seen in the eyes of man as an umbrella cord to God, there's a separation. This thing can only identify when a man begins to lock themselves within the chambers of Jehovah, that God may give you an exposition unto all these things. But see, what begins to kill your trackings with God is your association with things that don't glorify Him. There are things that don't help you to grow even in life. So when a man associates with the people of familiar spirits, they begin also to function in the same way. That, because your friends or another man of God has been doing these things in this way, or performing miracles, or casting out devils in a particular way, or doing something in a different way. So you have to follow the same pattern. But do know if you follow the same pattern, to some extent it works for you. but there's no glory of God in it. Because you follow the pattern that was ordered by men, not Him. So though men have seen results, thank God, that glory has come to you, not to Him. Now, do you know why God has to receive that glory? Now, you see, one thing you have to know about God is that He's not selfish. Which means that if something is performed under the disguise of God, that thing, He will not accept that glory to Himself. He will not. What makes it to accept that glory is so that if it is legally constituted, that this thing was done in the precept of Jehovah, that all animals show and reveal that there's a fairness in it, then glory has to be given to Him and He shall receive it. So there's a time that God begin to reject the glory you are giving Him. Because that glory that you are giving can even defy His own realm. He has to reject it. You did miracles by the powers of darkness, and you claim that God did it. Or even God in heaven shall refuse that glory. That glory cannot be given to you. That's why you see, when God refuses, that glory begin to descend upon men, not upon Jehovah. Because it was trying to ascend, God rejected it. When it cometh down, it will come down unto the man who was trying to give it. And that glory shall defy the same man who was trying to give it to God. You cannot cheat your way in the dealings with God. In your dealings with God, you cannot cheat your way. Now, oh God, opened the way, I got that job. Yet you slept with that man before you got that job. It was by the enablement of the waste activities that gave you the job. Then what do you say? That God gave you the job. No, it was the libido that gave you the job, not God. They come to us and say, oh, hallelujah, just God did it. Not God, libido, waste mechanism, waste engineering, nothing. So then you are doing it, yet God. I need to stay away from her. She's confusing me. I thought an angel was giving me a mantle. Which is the one giving me the sweater. You get that? So God cannot be, you cannot cheat away with God. You see, we tried this and this, we had this business, we wrote this contract, they gave us the deal. Yet you bribe your way to get the contract. You can't give God. God shall reject that glory. And when God rejects it, the defilement has been caught upon it. So when it comes, it comes back to the sender. I know you people have that prayer of back to sender. Now there's also back to sender when it comes to God. So the one who sent it, we come back to you, and when it comes back to you, you shall be defiled. So the fact that the first time a man gave glory to God, the next time that man began to now show himself before men, because it is me that this thing. So if that man shall come to your area, people will not just gather because of God, because they are hungry for God. No, but because they are hungry for that man, they only need to have their sight on that man, not Jehovah. A man can travel for a distance and spend so much just to go and meet a man, not Jesus. Do you know God can sort you out even that distance you are in? But because your eyes are not open to see Him in that category, in that kind of a functionality, you are dismissing the ability of God. And think that God is all. Oh, I know God is in the men, but God is everywhere. Leave this bullshit that, oh God, that will get a man before you can find God. Who said that? You can still find God without any man being in that place. I've told you about how you receive salvation. No man preached to me. No man. No man. Until today, no man preached to me. I received it because he came and had a conversation with me. It's one of the strings. And it, I've said before, it was not the first time. He came several times. And I was still rejecting. I was still rebellious. Until the day I gave it. I said, okay, now let's have a conversation. No man preached to me. So those who are now saying, you must find a man to find God. No. You need to find God before you find a man. It is God that also guides also your steps into every man. It is not every man that guides to God. It is God that guides your steps. Now, if you think that is by your mind, by men, how many people have you evangelized to and they have not received Jesus? How many people have you evangelized to and they lied to you that have received it, and then they made the pronouncement and their heart was not contrite to it? They said, and I see, oh, that man said, oh, you can preach to a man. If the Holy Ghost cannot convict the man, then the salvation cannot be guaranteed. Because it's not men that give salvation, it's God that gives salvation. He said, I'm the omnipresent one. Do you know what that means? He's everywhere. He's in that toilet, he's in that bedroom, he's that office, that hotel, on the road, in the forest, in the valleys, on the oceans. He's everywhere. A man who is lost in the jungle, how can that man meet God? Does he need to wait for missionaries to come? God can still meet that man in that bush. How our ancestors were able to meet the unknown God to them. Yet those days, the missionaries had not come. To some extent, they knew we have a God. And they were holding on to it. Any man that claims, that's only unto me that you can see God, that man is a lie. Because we don't see God because a man has proclaimed. We see God because he stands so strong upon his throne. This thing, we have glorified men so much. That's why we are losing the track of Christianity. That nowadays, our Christianity, our churches are formed based on the dictates and the tradition of men, not the Holy Ghost. We only call the Holy Ghost when we want to speak in tongues. That even our own tongues are not of him. These are who people make jokes with. Do you know what tongues is? You go to make fun of people. What is your weapon of warfare? Somebody just shout carelessly. They think it's fun. It's not fun. It's not. You can also say that and say, oh, the world is modernizing. We have become digital, so God has to become. No, listen. God does not move with the world. The world moves. The world must move the way God moves. The fact that the world is becoming digital does not begin to make sure that you compromise the ways of God because the world is becoming digital. You see, even the digital itself is found in God. God is not found in digital. You don't begin to dictate God. That you see, all things have changed. We need to modernize worship. We need to modernize services. Things have changed. So the thing that God can comply, what things have changed? The things can change. God is not changing. It's the same God that was there before the beginning was. And the same God that is still here today. It didn't change because things changed. It didn't change because technology changed. It didn't change because lifestyle changed. No, it is you that changed the lifestyle. It is you that changed the technology. God is still the same. So those that you see, you want to come and bribe God with your phones, with your laptops, with your TikToks. You can't bribe God by it. The same God that was there before is the same God that is yet to be. A man can invest so much on social media to be known, yet cannot be known. Unless God permits the atmosphere to open up. It is by God permits the atmosphere to open up for you. You can invest so much, but you cannot be known. Do you know how first I know that I have churches that have not been known until today? But the level of the investment is so massive. If that was the only way to be known, these guys would be known by now. It is not social media that opens you up to the spirits of men. It is by the Spirit of God that opens you up into all these things. So as long as the world is changing, God is not changing. He's the same God. Stop compromising. Stop having excuse that the same God has changed. No! That God will understand. God will understand. will attend service. I will join you online. In fact, I will be doing the spirit. I say, if we see your spirit, we shall bind that spirit. We need people in the physical. This thing, oh, I'm doing this, we shall bind that spirit. Don't come. Then the spirit not attend the meeting. We don't have the Holy Ghost. We are okay. What difference will the spirit make? We didn't reserve a chair for your spirit. We reserve a chair for you as a flesh and blood to come, that your spirit may encounter the higher spirit. So we begin to compromise and think that, see, we are okay with God because a familiar spirit has had the entrance into the body of Christ, and we have not compromised the whole thing. Our fellowship compromised, our worship compromised, our prayers compromised, how we share the word compromised. So I have to share the word with you. I have to speak what you desire to hear. Pastor, I came for healing, so I have to preach to you about healing. Oh, Pastor, I came for deliverance, I have to preach to you about demonology. No! If the Holy Ghost has not told you to speak about it, how will not? You can leave the church. How will not speak about it? It's how we grow. Our growth is not determined by what we want to eat. It's determined by what the diet that the Holy Ghost wants to feed into you. Jesus is a car in the spirit, and the Holy Ghost is weeping for men, that the ones I knew have become so familiar with me. They can consult wizards for nothing because the doctrines of the Nicolaitans has entered into them. That on Friday that quiver lunch, on Saturday they are shrine in Kitui, on Sunday in church. For how long can you sustain that thing? We have lost it. They can't say, oh, once born again, once saved, so forever saved. Because, oh, we have become so familiar. Even what we received, it can be given for eternity, but it can be corrupted even now. The fact that it's eternal does not mean that it cannot be corrupted. It can be corrupted in the present. We must rise up in our guards as men that knows him. A man must be completely lost into Jesus. For the life in the spirit requires a one soberness that can only be given by the mind of the spirit. There are things you cannot do by the carnal mind, because carnal mind has the tendency of always brooding death, not life. And as a man thinks in the spirit, there is no life and peace. For carnal mind, to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. This life is not oxygen only. This life is the ability for everything around me to be alive. Can be my job, my marriage, my ministry, my education, my health, all these things are part of what must experience this life. But this must enter through the gateways of the mind of the spirit. How can a man identify the ways into God unless this man knows of him? One man told me, Apostle, I want to teach you how to grow church. I want to teach you how to make numbers in the church. I told him, is it the Holy Ghost? He said, no, there's another one inside the Holy Ghost. He said, you will teach me that. Don't teach me. You will teach me. If there's another one in the Holy Ghost, he will teach me. Don't teach me. I was not called to grow numbers in the church. I was called to mature people. It's my labor. If I will labor for two to mature and I go to heaven, so be it. If I labor for one to be mature, then I rest in God, then so be it. I have a call. I know my call. I have a course. I was not called for the flamboyance of ministry. I was not called that for the convenience of ministry. I know my call. Not to come for numbers. As long as I see 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people lining up, I feel good. No! There can be 10,000 people but ending to hell. They are juveniles. They are not grown in the things of God. 10,000. Who have to call you every night that I have been attacked in my dream. I saw a cat in my window. I saw this and that. No! I must pray the price of lifting up a people that even when I rest, I know that the ministry is so strong on earth. These things we are not called for from the hands of ministry. That we compete. Now how many can know that you have grown until you blow? What will they help you when they are coming? Okay, they have known you can sing, you can teach, you can pray. Then what next? What next? They can invite you to every churches. What next? Heaven is crying. The one I gave the mantle, the one I gave the keys, is yet to open the doors for my people. What God gives you is to open a way for his people. You must understand why you are on earth. That is what shall sustain you on earth. Some who are scared of death because you don't know who you are still. You don't know why you are on earth. You think you're here by accident. You're just passing by. Your parents were having sex, then you just came. Boom. It is not because you just came accidentally, because of sex. Even if you're found by rape, that rape was your only way to have entrance into earth. Thank God, so by rape, you are never aborted. You enter the earth of realm, the realm of earth. Do you know how many spirits tried to access earth, but they were sent back to oblivion? Because a man decided that they are going to abort the pregnancy. You are here because for a reason. So until you understand why you're on earth, there are things you will never be scared of. You are afraid of death. Say, oh, you only live once. I've told you that thing, you only live once. Only one for darkness, not the point light. We don't live once, we live forever. What we receive is eternity. I didn't receive the life of death. I received Jesus in me. He's the hope of all glory. The one that my hope is upon. The one that my life is upon. The one I received was not to come and go. He's here with me. What I received was not only a life for a short time. No. That's it. That life begins at what? That's 40 or 60. That one. You see, your life cannot begin at 60. The life expectation is 40, I don't know, 60 or 50. Every day they reduce it. They reduce it. It began 80, 70, 60, 40. I don't know how what number is it now. That you cannot go beyond that age. That's what the world will tell you, because to be carnally minded is death. All the things I think is death. What is the life expectancy? What is this and that? What is this and that? Now, all the conversation is engineered to push the agenda of death. Now they are to limit, they want to reduce the number of population on earth. Did God say that now the earth is too small that my people can survive? God can decide to expand this earth. Oh, you see, you people don't know the God that people are having. You know the God we are standing on. He did say the earth is full of people. Okay, some of you are leaving one person in your house. Are you leaving 100 people in that house? Why is the earth full? But somebody comes to the agenda and said, the earth is full. You people are not living in Amazon. You are not living in those Antarctica sites. You have to explore these sites. How many of you are living in forest? Apart from Winnie, who is living in game park. How many of you are living in forest? No, nobody. So you don't say the earth is full. Do you know how many lands we have? Have you gone this way of Nakuru? You say land, that the earth is full. Where? God has not said that. If God shall see that is full, he shall expand this earth by himself. Is he not the creator of the earth? You must know this God. We are getting a place that the atmosphere over globally is shifting. And only them that shall be sensitive to the Lord shall capture this frequency. Stop living the life that you are thinking, oh, tomorrow rapture is happening, Jesus is coming. So you don't know which one is which. A prophet comes and says, oh, the world is ending tomorrow. And we come and say, oh, rapture is almost. Stop living on the urgency of the rapture. Start living for the kingdom. If rapture comes and found you, then so be it. If rapture found you in the heavens, then so be it. Start living for the kingdom. Know why you are on earth. There's a mission to be fulfilled. There are people, there are creatures depending on you. And he said that the creatures are what? There's an expectation among the creatures for the manifestation of the Son. No, listen, not the identity of the sons of God, but the manifestation. It is the doing aspect of the sons of God that they are waiting for. They are waiting for. they are eagerly waiting for. There's a cry in Zion that all men must come to the place of Jesus by the provisions that has been given the realm of the Spirit. All men may come. It's a time that every man must begin to labor for what is on their own as far as God is concerned. Are we in the right direction? Now, that's the question you must ask yourself. Am I really right with God? Are my ears open to Him? Are my sight inclined unto Him? Am I so sensitive for Him? Or is this that see familiarity within me? Oh God, kill every familiarity within me. Is there still a sense of unseriousness? Jesus, take it up. We must come to that place where the life, or life, the spirit life and the life in the spirit shall begin to make sense. The one we received knows all things.